Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This is where the sun hits the sky, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the Doctor himself, Pete Donaldson.
Love a bit of supergrass.
Lovely to have you with us. It's Football Ramble time. Of course it is. Oh, aren't we all lucky to be in it together? Carlo Ancelotti and his Bayern Munich players, they're in it together. They were seen out and about an Oktoberfest recently in Germany. Of course, it's October. It's that time of the year. That's what they do.
It's brilliant, though. It's always about this time. You always see Drogba's been seen in Lederhosen before.
Yeah, famously.
Beautiful.
Usain Bolt was with him, wasn't he?
Oh, he was,
weirdly.
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah.
I don't know why that happened. I don't know whether that was just coincidence.
A party was happening.
and he can get there very quickly.
Yeah.
my Australian friend Mitch, who hitherto thought of himself as quite a big drinker.
Oh, Mitcho. Right.
He's very Australian.
Mitcho.
He turned up to one of the tents for Oktoberfest, I think at like 6 in the morning, to get a table. And they open at 9.
Is he that Australian? He got the time zone. He's still on the time zone.
No, I don't think that's anything to do with it. But he got there at like 6, so he could be there because it starts at 9. Yeah. I think he thought they started serving beer in Stein's at 11.
Yeah.
But they serve it straight away.
Right.
I think he said he was
He'll
there.
Be done by like 11.
Yeah, listen to this though. He reckons. And he looked like a you know, like a Vietnam War vet when he was telling me this. Yeah. A troubled man on the Monday when I saw him at work. And he said they were in that table, because it's table service, from 9 in the morning to 1 the next morning. Cool. And he reckons he must have had 8 steins, which I think is 16 pints of, I guess, Pilsner or beer or whatever.
Lovely old job.
And he said one of the things that happened in this tent he was in, because it's so crowded, if anyone attempts to sit or stand on a table itself, they have to basically chug this stein, and then everyone chucks stuff at them and shouts at them until they finish it. And then I think he said, I made that mistake once, didn't do it again.
Is that Aussie rules that he
Yeah, it might just be down to him, yeah. It might just be his particular group of friends.
So gassy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very gassy.
But, yeah, apparently a good whatever it was, 16-hour session or something. So it's get you up and running, isn't it?
Yeah, imagine doing that
pre-gaming.
Blow the cobwebs out.
Somebody we all know who's a fan of that, Lord Ramble.
Yeah.
Then we'll leave that there. Mm. Well, if you could take a team or a person or persons from the world of football to a big special annual event like Oktoberfest, or maybe not like Oktoberfest, but, you know, something that tickles the calendar's fancy, where would you take them, Jim?
Well, I think you'll like this one, Luke, because it involves an American thing. We all know that... We all know that West Ham are struggling a bit at the moment, and Slaven Bilic likes his team dinners because he's been getting Mark Noble to organise them, hasn't he? And I think it's fair to say, so far this season, West Ham have lacked balls. So what I would do is I would take them to Clinton Montana's Testicle Festival. He'd go. Yeah. He'd get an honorary trip out of that. It's known as Testy Fest, which is great. So what I would do is I'd get Mark Noble to enter them into the ball eating contest, which is basically whoever eats the most ball bollocks in 4 minutes wins.
So, any particular animal?
Yeah, bulls. Oh, you said bulls.
Oh, bulls bollocks. Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. Okay.
I was with Pete there. Like, well, these are from a sheep. These are from a monkey. Yeah.
Imagine the bulls ones are quite big as well.
Yeah, imagine that you have 4 minutes. Probably you wouldn't get many down.
You get 4 minutes.
4 minutes. You got to eat the most you can in 4 minutes.
It would have to be in a soup, like a hot Chinese soup or something.
I don't know. I wonder if you get a choice of how they're prepared. But
I was going to say, I think they're well prepared. When they
serve them up to you, these all testy, yeah?
Well, what I would do if I was Bilic is to motivate Mark Noble, because obviously I'd get him to organise him, is I'd call him Mark Nobles.
Nice, yeah. Very good. Goad him.
Yeah, goad him into proving me wrong.
Yeah, Diego goad him into him.
It's a strong start, Jim.
That's a very strong look. Yeah.
I would take my friend Mitch to Oktoberfest. I would take Louis van Gaal.
To that one?
No. Although it's strange.
They tear through them.
I didn't know.
When does the contest start?
I didn't know that was Jim's going to be Jim's answer. This is a complete coincidence. I would take Louis van Gaal to a meeting of the Bilderberg Group.
Okay.
Partly because I think that he would be really good at trying to get us in, because he's quite brazen, he's quite brave, he's up front, he won't take any stick from any security.
And that is our aim, isn't it?
Yeah, quite. And he also would be actually quite interested to go, I reckon. Mm. And I would too.
If he's not already a member?
It rotates around.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, it's like a meeting of the most powerful people in the world. Yeah. And it's supposed to be very secretive, and a lot of conspiracy theories around it.
Thank you for your secret meeting, lady.
Exactly.
Lizard lady.
John Ronson wrote a good book about it. It's worth reading. But I would take Van Gaal, partly for muscle, partly for a shared common interest.
And he'd look at the all-seeing eye, which will probably feature at some point, and he'd stare it down.
Yeah, he would.
It'd disappear off.
And then get his nuts out.
He'd get his own, out.
Peter.
I would take the entirety of the Borough squad to Flamingoland on... World Rhino Day, which I'm reliably informed happens at Flamingoland every single year.
Where's Flamingoland?
In Hull.
Oh, sorry,
nearby.
It's near Middlesbrough. It was the local place where we used to go.
Oh, that's right. Kids, oh, they sponsored Hull.
They sponsored Hull. That's the thing. Yeah.
There we are. Yeah, sorry, Peter.
Well, they on the website for Flamingoland, World Rhino Day happens on Thursday, the 22nd of September, and Friday, the 23rd of September, and Saturday, the 24th of September, and Sunday, the 25th of September.
Every day is Rhino Day.
What's that about?
They're in danger. They need more days.
is it for specific rhinos? The only ones left for each day.
I'll tell you what, often the fixture schedule can get in the way of such things.
Mm.
Well, they've given you a number of days.
Thursday probably a big thing, unless Borough get into Europe.
Which day would you take them?
I'd take on a Thursday, then be fresh for the Saturday.
I think most players, I think, if they've not got European games, I think they get Wednesdays off, don't they? So maybe they might want, Thursday might not
if
work.
If you're Andy Carroll, it bleeds into the next, really.
Why Middlesbrough? Why would you not take Newcastle
Well,
there?
Because Middlesbrough, they're sponsored by Flamingoland.
Yeah, you take them there. What about the Brazilian side, Flamengo?
Flamingoland.
I think there's a Flamingoland down south as well. I think I've driven past one.
I don't think there is.
I'm going to put this out there. Somewhere along the M3 corridor.
Right, I'm not having this. The only Flamingoland is in the northeast, and I used to go every year with my mum and my dad and my little baby sister.
What happened?
And my dad told me that alligators sleep with their eyes open when we saw a papier-mâché one. So I was really scared of this alligator that wasn't real.
Right. I mean, there's lots to sort of get involved with that. But one thing I will say is...
Wasp stung me on the maltzers.
The fact...
I mean, that's a quick wasp.
Of Flamingoland.
That's like a drive-by.
Well,
that's amazing from that wasp. No offence, mate, but that's brilliant.
It's a zoo and a carnival at the same time.
Right.
Just like your life.
I've just got one point to make.
You do mean like an insect, a wasp, not like some Anglo-Saxon Protestant man came up to you with a hidden camera and stung you in the sort of that...
No.
Because that does seem appropriate.
Not one of the rugby team.
Yes, okay.
Well, just the fact that you went to one near Middlesbrough doesn't mean there can't be one somewhere else.
It's like having two Lake Water Valleys.
Okay.
Or two Chessing World of Adventures. It doesn't work.
Chessington's the name of the place
exactly.
It's in.
Yeah.
What, is there a flamingo in Middlesbrough?
Yes. I'm going to go with yes. There are certainly giraffes, or there used to be.
Okay.
And red pandas.
Red panda.
I saw a red panda, and they're a pleasant animal.
Was it a red panda in the northeast? What is it up to? What does it think it is?
Well, they're affiliated with Middlesbrough Football Club. They painted it red.
Anyway, this is going to be Cadbury's cream eggs all over again. You're going to have egg on your face.
Cream egg.
As soon as people get involved.
Remind people what the Cadbury's cream egg thing was.
I told Pete, I blew Pete's tiny mind by telling him that Cadbury's cream eggs are only available between Christmas and Easter.
Mm.
And then he tried to get out of it by saying, oh yeah, but there's loads left over after Easter, so technically I was correct.
I'm fairly certain you still get them. And didn't we prove, didn't you basically say, if you can buy one in October, you give me £10?
I found one
in October.
Yeah, one, out of date. Two,
wasn't out of date, though.
I had to get a news agent to back me up. I had to actually speak to the local news agent and say, can you just confirm? The only thing I will say is...
One news agent? Oh, well, that's enough for me, Your Honour.
The bet is null and void now anyway, because for Halloween they've started bringing out Scream Eggs.
Right.
In a slightly different colour for Halloween, so it doesn't really matter.
They're an horrible taste now, aren't they? The chocolate's terrible.
If you've been to Flamingoland, somewhere south of London, or south of the Midlands, shall we say,
okay,
let me know, because I'm pretty sure I've seen one.
Okay.
There we go.
But if you have been to the one in North East, tell us. How did you get on there?
If it's a mom and pop joint, though, with like one flamingo, I'm not having that.
It's an official branded flamingo.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's official.
You can't just go around starting your own flamingo land.
My rationale is that I've definitely seen a flamingo and I've never been anywhere near Middlesbrough. So.
That's a dig.
I've got no beef, but I've just got no reason to go.
There was once on a way to a festival I used to go to in the West Country, you could stop off and it was like a... sort of a
makeshift
service. Yeah, well, it was not too far from there. And there was one of the... It was very local, Somerset local, and it was there was a talking parrot was one of the things.
Any flamingos?
No flamingos. A woman threatened to break my legs there.
Oh, okay.
Why?
I offended her.
If they break, he's a witch.
I offended her with my inoffensive ways.
Yeah.
But my answer to the opening question is...
I can't remember what it is now.
Is this. About special events or annual events. I would get those... former disgraced members of FIFA, you know, the ones who
big event,
yeah, the ones who have been, you know, Blatter and Platini and all these people, Jack Warner, all these
747 amount of people.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to get them all on a big jumbo jet.
They know how to get around the world. Don't worry about that. At the drop of a hat, at the drop of a coin, and I would take them to the running of the bulls in Spain.
Nice,
get in there.
Nice, essentially. mean, what amounts to quite violent physical abuse to elderly gentlemen?
A slow release murder.
Yeah.
Well, it was either that or take them to the cheese rolling in Gloucestershire
and roll them.
Yeah, no, well, yes, because that's what they do, don't they? You roll
all
the cheese.
All sorts of broken ankles, though, doing that.
Yeah, and I just thought, that's not enough. No. Chuck Blazer rolled.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Blazer would win. Rolled. Yeah. Blazer would win.
They all roll under pressure, mate. Don't worry about that.
Indeed, they do. Let's talk about. Oh, I'll dish out points. The points. Who's Jim's got the points?
Yeah, I was about to say, as long as you don't give them to Flamingo Land, I'm happy.
We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. The Premier League, Spurs. Luke, you said that if Spurs could win this game, it would blow the Premier League title race wide open, and it has. It was superb stuff from Tottenham Hotspur.
It has, and I was excited to watch it. It was, for me, the performance of the Premier League season so far from a team. I thought they were superb, Spurs. I thought they were, you know, irresistibly good.
Did they beat Guardiola at his own game?
Well, I think they did to an extent because, I mean, City still had more possession. Mm. But if you look at the other stats, I mean, Spurs were just so determined to win the ball back at every opportunity. They committed twice as many fouls as City. And they just kept, they harassed them from the first whistle, just went after them. And I thought it was a bit strange that Zabaleta and Kolarov started the game because they both started the game against Celtic, I believe. Mm-hmm. And this is always going to be a tough game. And then you've got players like Navas who's inconsistent, who can let you down. I didn't think Fernando was really that good either. He didn't look like he enjoyed getting the ball under pressure. Wanyama was amazing for Spurs. The thing about Wanyama is he came with a bit of a reputation when he went to Southampton, I think, of being really up for the big games, but not necessarily being there consistently for the games that weren't maybe as fashionable.
He had his eye on a move.
They've got Sissoko for that, haven't they?
Well, quite. But him marshalling the back four, that back five they had, because essentially they had like Wanyama in front of the back four, didn't they? It's just a solid back five.
Yeah, he played that screening role so well. It was like Makélélé in his pomp. It was absolutely superb.
You cannot imagine a player turning up to that Pochettino side and being half-assed.
No.
You just won't be tolerated.
You'd get left behind, won't you? Because they are so quick, they're so energetic. Yeah. You'd feel like life was at half speed if you didn't sort of keep up with it.
But what Pochettino's created there is he created a side. If you were a young, hungry footballer, you'd be looking at that team. Obviously, there's other teams as well, but not talking about money and all that. Pure footballing terms, if people still do that. You would be like, oh, I want to be playing. It's a fun place to be.
You know what you're going to get. And the great thing about them is they're versatile, right? You talk about Wanyama in that midfield doing that job. Well, he can easily revert to having Dyer and Dembele back in there. I mean, they played the game without Kane, who's their best forward, and without Dembele, who's probably their best outfield player last season. And they've got Eriksen playing a slightly different role and playing it well. Every player knows their role and knows what they're doing and buys into this mentality. And the other thing about them is they just don't concede goals.
No.
I don't think they've conceded a goal in the Premier League from open play yet this season.
Well, they had a great defence last season, and old Son's extra trading Peter has paid off, hasn't it?
No, he's come back.
He's
like
got
you're
a boost
saying,
from us, hasn't he?
He is a man possessed.
He had a point to prove against his manager, the fans, and the Football Ramble as well.
Yes. Yeah.
But he was fantastic.
And the South Korean military.
The first 20 Spurs, minutes, though, he was hammering it.
Sorry, Jim, what are you saying?
Got hope for Spurs. He's not a man possessed because... Mm-hmm. You know, if he's clearly possessed by a very good footballer.
Yeah.
Well, and if that is exercise.
Well, I was about to say, all the exercise they do will get him out of it.
Indeed. Yeah. I think the problem Spurs have had in the past when, you know, they've... Because it used to be the case that Spurs would start very well when people would start saying, oh, are they title contenders? And various managers would try to play it down and stuff. You actually look at them now and think, that they of course they are. They absolutely have to be. It's like the days of Spurs having a bit of a good run and then, like, inexplicably losing a stupid game at home to West Brom, you know, for example, are just gone. Like they really, really
they went
sort of
for a phase
in themselves and have that momentum now.
But Jim, it's funny you say they started well because they went for a phase of giving points away in August because they wouldn't get their squad sorted in time before the transfer window, and it would take them a while to get going, and those points would sometimes make be the difference, you know. But this time around, I've said all season it's City, Spurs and Liverpool for me, and Spurs were so good against City. I mean, they did. I mean, they essentially beat City at their own game. I thought Sun could. I mean, a lot of people gave Wanyama man of the match. I thought Sun could have been man of the match as well.
His first 20 was just incredible. He flashed over the bar in like 30 seconds.
He was all
over
the place, wasn't he? Yeah.
But he's still yet to do something bigger in international tournaments. So that military service is still looming away in the background in the next few years.
On his monkey on his back.
What did we think of the incident with Lamella and Son fighting over the ball for the penalty?
Well, Pochettino said there was no rationale or instructions beyond Harry Kane as the penalty taker, and it's whoever feels like He said that thing that a lot of foreign managers say, which I quite enjoy, is whoever's in the right moment gets to take it.
But you do need a bit of instruction from the manager, because the whole Spurs team seemed like in the right moment, didn't they?
They're so confident. I would have wanted to take it. Whoever gets to it first.
I would have sympathised with what happened, because I think I personally would have preferred Son to take it, because I think in that situation he seems at the moment to be more reliable.
So confident.
But then with someone like Lamella, he hasn't scored... I'm not sure if he scored the season. But
he has. He scored a couple this season.
Okay, but he perhaps is... I mean, look, Lamella's a brilliant player, and it's nice to see him. Obviously, he was great last season. But it's funny, isn't it, to think about the time when he signed for Spurs for all that money.
It took him a while to find his feet.
It took him a long while, and probably to adapt to a new culture and the new surroundings. You forget about that with football.
Also, and he was part of a team that was being built from the ground up. He came in with a lot of other players, so that can't help either.
Mm. But what about Man City? I mean, they missed De Bruyne.
Yeah,
they did miss some chances as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That's why the penalty situation was an interesting one, because... they missed that penalty. Of course, they were 2-0 up at the time. But if City went down the end, other end, and scored, which they're more than capable of doing, then you're really starting to worry, because you think, God, the momentum has completely swung. But the way that Spurs defended, De Bruyne was a big miss, of course, and he's a world-class player and could have made a difference. We just don't know what would have happened. But it seemed to me that everything City did in front of goal, even with Aguero, who's arguably one of the best Premier League strikers ever, he just seemed so rushed all the time. He had no space. He couldn't find the space he normally finds.
So well.
And Spurs were great at defending like that.
It's quite funny, isn't it, with so much chat about Joe Hart leaving and Claudio Bravo coming in. Spurs targeted Bravo, did they not?
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
He seems like a bit of a wiggly. You could say Celtic did that. So it's
worth pointing out that, by the way.
Yeah.
So you talk about Claudio Bravo. Well, you know, and I'll tell you what, I'm just going to expand on it. I completely agree with you, but I'm going to expand on it by saying Bravo is that type of keeper, and Guardiola wants that type of keeper. But you need to understand as well that the type of football that is played in this country means it's all very well for him to be good at the ball at his feet and be like an extra outfield player and all the rest of it.
Sometimes you don't get that time.
Quite. Yeah, one, you don't always get that time, as exactly what I was about to say. Secondly, you'll get bombarded. Because they know, as soon as they smell blood, the moment he did that mistake he made earlier on in his Man City career, you knew, and we said it on this show, he's going to get bombarded over and over again. He's got to better deal with it.
You're saying Guardiola's methods might just not be enough for England?
I just think that he's very stubborn, Guardiola, with what he does. And I think he's bombed out a big personality and a big goalkeeper in that dressing room, and brought his own man in for a particular style. And that style of goalkeeper, I'm not saying he's a bad goalkeeper, but it may not lend itself particularly well to the type of football he's going to have to play every other week in the Premier League.
Because he looks like another defender at times, which... at times is great, but as you say, at other times it may be to the detriment of the side.
But also, we've got to remember that he's adapting to that game, and
maybe
that he does have the talent to know when to do that and when not to do it. He's going to have to adapt, isn't he? It looks almost like
he's played in goal for Barcelona, and we've just talked about Lamella having to adapt to the style of play and culture and all those of it. And Bravo is entitled to think that as well. But the difference is, being goalkeeper for Barcelona every week. Some weeks he'll enjoy.
You could ship three goals and you would still win.
Exactly. Exactly. He's a complete spectator. He's probably, like in the old days, sit on the crossbar and sit back and enjoy the show and see Suarez and win 6-0.
What did David De Gea have to do when he came to United as a really highly rated, skillful goalkeeper? The first thing he had to do was sort his diet out and get big and strong, because you have to do that in the Premier League. This is not a case of us going, foreign fancy Dans, they don't like it up and they're not strong enough. Bravo can't do anything about his stature in this size, really. So he has to adapt in other ways. And finally, they play Arsenal at home. Arsenal will go toe-to-toe with them and try and play off the park. And Arsenal aren't going to bomb a whole load of balls in the box over and over again. And there are other teams that won't either. But some teams will. And he's got to show he can do that. Because it could be the difference between winning the Premier League and not winning the Premier League, because it's going to be quite close this season. But it's funny how much he can switch around, because I remember three weeks ago, thinking City were going to walk the league. Yeah. So it's difficult to say.
But this game is a good reflection, I think, of how tight it is probably going to be. Because City, as you say, City have been smashing everyone, and then Spurs have just taken them on at their own game and done the same thing. And it's going to be fascinating, isn't it?
But Spurs put a real big marker down. They were excellent. It was, like I say, it was probably the performance of the season. And it's all to play for now. City, I think, are 1 point ahead. And Spurs are the only team to have not lost a game this season, I think. So, yes, yeah, all to play for.
To dare is to do.
Indeed.
We're going to talk more about the Premier League after this.
They're men of the world, not your regular rabble. They love a bit of that.
Hashtag travel.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we talk more Premier League stuff, Luke's got this to say.
I've got exciting news about the Football Ramble book launch, everyone.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
You can do better than that.
Boo!
I was saying boo.
Yes, Thursday the 13th of October from 7 p.m. at a central London location to be confirmed is the Football Ramble book launch. And we'd like some of you to come along, as many of you to come along as possible, really. It's completely free to come along, but you need to reserve a place because there are limited numbers. It'll be a book signing with a chance to get a book a week early from release, because of course the release date is the 20th of October, and this is on the 13th. There's going to be a Q&A, a chance to discuss football with us and the writing of the book. For more details and the chance to reserve a place, like I said, it's free in the central London location on the Thursday the 13th of October from 7 p.m. Go to thefootballramble.com from 10 a.m. this Wednesday the 5th of October.
Cool.
So that's thefootballramble.com, 10 a.m. on Wednesday. For more details, the book is available in all formats on October the 20th and is available to pre-order now.
What an offer!
Yep,
it's free.
You can't
it's
get
free.
Better than that.
Central London location, and it's not my house. Let me make that very clear.
Well, it might be your house later, yeah. But the actual Q&A.
There's not limited numbers at an event at Pete's house.
Yeah, for the formal part of the evening, it won't be at Pete's house. For the informal part, well. Come along and find out.
The infernal part. Genuinely is very, very limited numbers, so get to thefootballramble.com at 10 a.m. on Wednesday for your chance to get involved, and as we've said, it's completely free.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Should be fun. Should be lots of fun.
Should be great. I've got some questions for you guys, I tell you.
Oh, good.
And some answers. Right, well, we talked up Spurs, their beautiful football against Manchester City. Perhaps the ugliest goal of the season was scored by Arsenal,
they
who usually
out.
Play beautiful football.
Yeah, with a limb you're not even allowed to use.
Does Oxlade-Chamberlain get an assist for that?
I don't know.
I should get an assist for watching that bloody match.
I found it very difficult to keep a concentration. Oxlade-Chamberlain didn't touch it. If he did, it would have been offside.
Yeah,
is that right?
It was very, very difficult to see that even in the replays, wasn't it? It was so scrappy.
Who was it? Scorlick or Koscielny?
Koscielny kicked it off his own hand.
He kicked it into his own arm, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But if you look at it from the referee's view, I mean, he would have struggled to see that.
So then really, the goal was fine because that's ball to hand, is it not?
I wonder about this. I think there was an incident about this a couple of years ago, wasn't there, where a similar thing happened, where the ball was kicked into someone's hand, but it was unreasonable to expect them to be able to get out of the way, so it then stood. But it was his hand.
He threw it in.
Very tough on Burnley, who defended very, very well.
I know. This was actually on Wenger's 20th anniversary, wasn't it? Because people spoke about it being against Chelsea. But Wenger, 20th anniversary has happened. And,
there's your ugly win.
There's your three points.
Well, on his first game, Ian Wright scored two, didn't he? And they were 2-1 winning against Blackburn.
Is that right?
Was it 2-0?
Yeah,
went on to play for Burnley.
Who, Ian Wright? He did.
There's your link.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, it all comes back round.
I said this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I maintain it now. There's not many teams that are going to score a huge amount of goals at Turf Moor this season.
Fantastic against Liverpool as
Burnley,
well.
Burnley are so well drilled, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I was watching it with a friend of mine, and towards the end, we're thinking, actually, this isn't a bad point, given that in mind. They are going to be really, really tough to break down, and you're going to get those games. So the win felt great, even if it was in slightly dodgy circumstances.
But they always feel good, those types of wins.
Yeah, they do.
And it's at the end of a good week for Arsenal, with the win against Chelsea and the win against Basel as well in the Champions League. Like, it's tough to get, 100% out of that, so got to be happy with it.
It's all coming up Arsenal, Jim. Mm. All in time. I mean, they're only 2 points off Manchester City, because that Spurs win was actually quite handy for the Gunners.
Yeah. It's a bit early to be even looking at the table, though, I think, isn't it?
Is it, though?
Look at it while you can, that's what I say. Just look at it while you can.
Jim, Arsenal are 2 points off Manchester City. Yeah. Have a bleeding good look.
Get a screenshot.
Get my magnifying glass out.
Screenshot, upload to iCloud.
Yeah. Frame it, living room wall.
I'll get Pete to Photoshop it so we're top.
Yeah.
I'll get Pete's dad to do it.
You know, son, in that first season, Guardiola came to England. Look at that. Arsenal were only 2 points behind at one point.
Pete will get a 16-bit tattoo of it if you want.
Yeah.
On his back.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Wonderful.
Well, that should be a prize we give away. Someone can design a tattoo and you have to have it. What do you think?
Worcester. Is right the word Worcester. Worcester gave me a cold over the weekend, so thanks, Worcester.
Yeah, I got a cold as well. I didn't blame it on Worcester, though.
You weren't in Worcester.
What?
You were in Winchester.
Oh, Winchester, right.
Which was a lovely live show. Thanks very much for all who came. Mm. But you're right about those wins, Luke. Arsenal, obviously, a win against Chelsea, 3-0, something like that, is brilliant. It's great for the confidence. But to go away to Burnley, who are grinding out the results, and Burnley, hit the bar, did they not? They could have sneaked it as well. To come away with the 3 points when you're knocking on the door, Alexis Sanchez hit the post and blah, blah, blah.
You feel like you've
done a runner from a restaurant and gotten away with it. It's the thrill of a crime.
You certainly do. You certainly do. It was a good win for Liverpool. Klopp was very angry at half-time as Liverpool's first half performance didn't make sense to him away to Swansea 2-1. But the big news, of course, is Guidolin has gone. Yeah. The American owners have brought in Big Bob Bradley.
B-cubed.
Treble B.
He's been knocking on the door for ages for a Premier League job, hasn't he?
He has. He's the first American to manage in the Premier League.
Good to have, good to have another notable leg back in the Premier League.
He is the first American, isn't he?
Yeah, he will be, it's Guidolin's 61st birthday today.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Well, now he can enjoy it in quite some style.
See you later. Pay off.
He actually sent a nice open letter to the fans and to, well, I think, just to Swansea in general. He said he even liked the rain. It was actually quite heartwarming to read. I found this quite interesting. It was an article I read today, Monday, that mentioned about Bob Bradley had interviewed very well for the job. He interviewed strongly. That's why he got the job. And I thought, well, Guidolin was still in charge on the Saturday. I was reading this article about midday on the Monday.
Sunday.
Skype.
I tell you what, they were quick. Yeah. They were very... That is efficiency for you.
Got the job? Yeah, all right, great.
Guidolin, I mean, I called this on the old Mortal Dramas thing, didn't
you did,
I? But
you did.
I'm not taking... I don't want people to confuse me taking pleasure with that, because I actually think he's been quite harshly done by. If you look at how he was given... the task of keeping him in the Premier League, which he did with a couple of games to spare, I think, maybe even three games to spare. Mm. Signed a new contract in May. They've had quite a tough start, and they've got some winnable games coming up. You wonder whether they can feasibly, and if they've lined up Bob Bradley in the background, and I'm sure people have their own opinions on how classy that is or isn't, but is it fair to be judging Guidolin on that, given it's like June, July, August, four and a bit months after his first...
And high-flying Liverpool as well. I know Swansea historically done well against that team, but still,
I mean, the games that they've played in, they've lost away to Leicester City. They are the champions, lest we forget. They drew at home with Chelsea. They lost to Manchester City. Yeah. And as you say, they lost to Liverpool. They lost away to Southampton. Well, that can happen. I think the only genuine disappointing result that they could say would be the home loss against Hull, but that was away back in August, and they have lost five in their last six, and you know what the league's like.
But they've played well in games they've lost, which obviously doesn't help you, but does suggest that, you know, there was room for improvement there and it could have been turned around. But, you know, I don't
want people to think of me as being hypocritical, so they shouldn't have. They've been great. They've not been very good. I'm not saying they've been very good. I'm just saying, if you give a manager a job and he does that job, i.e. keeps in the Premier League, you then give him a new contract. 4.5 months later, two of which of those months there hasn't been any football played, what's changed? You know, give him till Christmas, you've still got a load of points to play for. They're not going to be rock bottom at Christmas anyway, because there's other teams that are awful. Yeah. It just seems a little bit quick.
Asking someone to revolutionise a club in a summer.
Right.
Effectively, if that's your...
But then if you're running the football club and you think the results have been quite poor, you think that Guidolin is not going to finish in the top half with Swansea, because personally I don't think they will finish in the top half if we're under him. Bob Bradley's available, and you think to yourself, well, you've always quite liked him, you've had a good chat with him and so on and so forth. It's an early twist, isn't it, really?
You've got to say that Hugh Jenkins overall has actually got the appointments right. I mean, Palacusa in there, you've got Martinez in there, you've got Rodgers in there. He's done the right thing more often than not, so you have to trust him. I'm just saying, I imagine there are a few Swansea fans who think it's a little bit harsh.
Yeah, but the Premier League is quite cutthroat like that, isn't it? Watford are a great example of, like, if they get a better opportunity, they take it, even if things are going well. And if you look back to Pochettino coming in for Nigel Adkins at Southampton, when everyone thought it was madness and was really disrespectful, even though that was a tough decision to make, it was the right one. So, you know,
Bob Bradley isn't Pochettino.
Well, of course not.
They're
looking at him as someone who's going to improve them from the situation they're in.
But at the time, Pochettino had only got, a couple of seasons under his belt at Espanyol, something like that. You know, he wasn't a big name, and it was very much potential, a guy who'd done all right in Spain. So.
But you don't want your season to be over by, you know, the middle of October and sort of go, well, we can't... Let's at least have a tilt at the cup competition or something like that.
Yeah. And they've been experienced in winning a cup competition in the past. Well,
they did get eliminated... one of the cups already, though.
The Pochettino thing is, you know, he had managed reasonably successfully in the Premier League already when Spurs took a chance on him.
Fair enough.
But that Van der Hoorn miss.
At the end.
Nightmares.
But I tell you what,
they didn't deserve to get a draw out of that, though. The first half they were good, the second half they were dreadful.
These are the interesting ones, because, you know, we mentioned before that before this game, if Liverpool win, Guidolin could go. That was the word on those mean streets. And if Swansea had scraped a win, then presumably this interview with Bob Bradley, we know you interviewed well, but can you just hang on another
week? Not that well.
Oh, he's won again. And he's, well, I know it was only a point, but it was a good point, you know. What do you do? This must happen in football. Yeah.
Stay in the cupboard.
Bob, you dare not take that job, because he might lose next week. He's gone, and then off they go. It must happen. But a good win for Liverpool. They're on the march, as Luke says. Manchester United, they drop points at home to Stoke. Mark Hughes finally avoided losing.
Yeah, well, Mark Hughes said
at his old club,
in his post-match interview, Stoke are always a threat. No team has scored fewer goals than them in the Premier League this season, and they've scored 12 in their last 13 Premier League games overall.
But it was a threat.
It is a logical possibility that they could score, which is a threat.
True, I guess so. In which case, then, is a threat is, you know, the same way that every team that's ever played football is technically a threat.
Gibraltar are always a threat.
Yeah, well, Gibraltar scored fairly recently, didn't they?
Stop having to go at Gibraltar. Yeah. Know, why have you brought them in?
I just said they're always a threat. Because people like you write them off, Peter. All right?
They're always a threat to Marcus's bygone dreams of the empire.
Yeah. Give it back.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But that's the Spanish Empire.
United should have been out of sight. They should have been out of sight.
I'll tell you, on loan Derby goalkeeper Lee Grant, he had a superb game.
He kept Zlatan right out. That first half chance.
Oh, yeah.
Zlatan had gone for power along the deck. And, like, you know, most of the time you'd back in to just hit it so hard the keeper could do nothing. But no.
It's one of those ones where the striker goes through and a little swerve of the body. I'll put that in the corner, and they've almost turned away in celebration. And you think, what a strong hand.
He really did make a difference, Grant, because if Zlatan scored that early chance, been another four goals.
Then floodgates.
The usual four.
Delicious chip from Juan Mata in the first half. I don't know if it was going in. The keeper got an answer as well, but it just looked brilliant.
The Grant said that he'd have to re-watch the match to pick out his best save.
Ooh, I heard that.
Lovely.
Yeah. Excellent.
It was a wonderful afternoon for him. West Ham, they got a point as well. James Collins said that the team's planned night out last Monday, which was the night out involving Andy Carroll, who else was it? Darren Randolph. And I think Aaron Cresswell may have been at McDonald's at 7 a.m. The next morning.
James Collins is a man you can imagine chowing down on some ball testicles.
I'm distancing myself.
But he said the team's planned night out was as good as a training session. And then he said that it had obviously worked because they got a point at home to Middlesbrough.
That home draw against the promoted side really showed everyone, didn't it?
I know. And they didn't have to rely on Payet doing anything great either.
Oh, what a goal.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it? But yes, it was really interesting and frank of Collins to say after the game, we just simply cannot expect him to do that all the time.
Who's like Frank Collins? Carry on.
Did I call him Frank Collins?
No, you said to be frank.
All right, okay.
you know that what that goal is, that Payet goal? That was simply another chapter.
Yeah.
In the wonderful stadium migration of West Ham.
We can't let it go, can we?
You know what, though? I must say about Bilic, he seems beleaguered, but he does sound like he's got the team together, even on, you know, with all the pressure.
Because they're terrified.
Well, maybe, but like, I don't know. It just feels like they know they're not playing well, but they're all trying to do something about it to get out of the slump. And it doesn't seem like he's lost them at all, or there's miscommunication between them. So, no team's form is going to be perfect all the time. So, can you really expect more from him?
I mean, they said that they're going to train on the pitch to make it feel more like home, but then if nights out are as good as training sessions...
Are
you going to go past and then hear the West Ham players having a drink in the centre circle? You know,
That'd be all right.
It wouldn't be bad, would it?
Yeah.
Jimmy up for that?
You wouldn't be able to hear anything because no one goes past that stadium. It's in the middle of nowhere.
And the pitch is so far away from the stadium.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
if you actually walk to it, it's about... Pete, we walked past it the other week, didn't we? There's nothing there.
Maybe it kind of gets a bit... There's a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's as far
Flamingo-landesque
as... Westfield. it's in Stratford, of course, which isn't in the middle of nowhere. And you say Westfield, but it's about...
It is a
fair
way.
It's about half a mile walk from Westfield across essentially like a walkway where nothing happens.
Well, if you went to the Olympics, anyone who went to the Olympics will know how far away it is from the...
There's that big slide.
Yeah, there is a big slide.
That thing that's now a slide.
Well, they should get that... Take you to the stadium,
just lean it over.
Yeah, but then you need a slide back, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, Bilic will be hoping there's a slide back because they're on the slide at the moment.
But it was great. When I watch Payet play, I sometimes forget which is stronger foot.
Oh yeah,
you have to watch the free kicks. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's his right foot. Yeah.
He probably does as well.
It's brilliant. Absolutely. I did enjoy hearing Slaven Bilic use the term "on the trot" in his post match interview.
Was it?
It's a very very English thing for him to have picked up.
Wonderful. We're going to talk a little more about English football and then go abroad after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Hey, Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Remember that the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is out on Friday. Manchester United let us down against Stoke. We said that...
They should have been out of sight.
Well, they should have won. We said by more than two, didn't we?
We said two or more goals.
Two or more goals against Stoke. That was our bet of the week, or bet of the show. And they've let us down, so let's hope that we get the next one right.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. But Friday morning... The Football Ramble preview show. Get involved.
Sorry, I'm just a bit quiet. I'm just dreading that you might bring up the England squad. I don't care.
Well, I don't care.
Gareth Southgate doesn't care either, does he?
No.
Round pegs around.
Gareth Southgate. I like the idea of Gareth Southgate putting together his England squad in tears, just going, "How has this happened to me?"
This is just crossing out sarcastic entries.
Just writing Glenn Johnson and going, that is taking the biscuit.
Glenn Johnson's had an all right season, to be fair. I know he's...
Don't care!
Lingard's in, Rashford's in.
Pete, how much do you care out of 10?
Very little. I cared more about the England squad. I cared a little bit more on Friday in Winchester when it was a legal minefield.
It was.
Live and unleashed. Fun. I think we got through okay, though. It was fine.
Yeah.
All good.
Are you suggesting that talking about the England squad isn't as legally sensitive as talking about other stuff?
The England managerial position was a legal hot potato.
Glenn Johnson, of course, a man who has had, his own fair share of legal difficulties, shall we say.
Was toilet difficulties.
Something after your own heart, Johnson.
Oh, it's not the heart.
Glenn Johnson, all right, it's factually correct.
Well, large intestines.
He's played football under Harry Redknapp.
He has.
All right.
Mm. Just a fact.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. It feels like it. Raheem Sterling's out and Andros Townsend's in. Goals galore. Goals galore for England.
Shots from distance galore.
I don't even know who they're playing.
Malta.
I don't even want to know who they're playing.
All right, fine. Let us move on.
The thing about that is, you say Malta, we all have a laugh about it. I'm thinking potential banana skin.
Yeah, I am.
Iceland.
Yeah, England are.
They'll be fine. They're always fine. It's qualifying, for crying out loud. It's fine.
Go to the championship.
Yeah.
Preston beat Aston Villa 2-0. Good win for those Prestons. But Di Matteo, he's gone. Pretty much.
Incredibly accommodating team, Villa, aren't they?
They are.
Easily dispossessed. What about hesitant this? In the challenge.
What about this for
Don't
a
worry,
fact?
If you miss a chance, you'll get another. They'll give you one.
Yeah, I know. Don't get downhearted.
Di Matteo has gone, sorry. I'm not saying pretty much.
No, he has gone. Yeah, he's gone. Little pop quiz for you guys. Hopefully you haven't seen it. If you have already seen it, don't give it away, because I definitely won't have seen it, and you can have a guess.
I've seen it.
Okay, fine. How many of their last 51 league games do you think Aston Villa have won?
Two.
51 league games. I'd go with 10.
Yeah, I was going to say 10 as well.
Have a proper guess.
All right. 7.
Four.
Two was...
I know!
Yeah, that wasn't
incredible.
Fair. That was a genuine guess.
Have you That's seen, a stinker.
What I thought you were going to say, Luke, is so he linked himself with a job? On Sky?
Tim Sherwood?
Yep.
No way!
Yeah. Did an interview with Sky saying, obviously, it's a fantastic club. Randy Lerner was there. Of course, I'd be interested in doing it again. He said he didn't have a bad word to say about the old owners, but, the new guy's got a lot of energy, and, it's they've a great job for anyone.
They've got bad words to say about him.
Dr. Tony.
He called him Dr. Tony. Yeah.
Saying, no thanks, Tim. You've done more than enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
We couldn't possibly ask you to do anything more than you've already done.
Hey, Big Sam Allardyce.
Well, that's the thing. I call him a Big Sam. I think it might have come a bit too early.
Yeah, a bit too quick.
It, two of the front runners are Big Stevie Bruce and David Wagner, who's doing very good things at Huddersfield.
Bruce would take it, wouldn't he?
I don't think Bruce will work because of what happened with Alex McLeish. I mean, Bruce is a Birmingham man. He got Birmingham promoted, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
So there's no way. I mean, Alex McLeish was at Villa and they booed him every single game. Yeah, he lasted about 10 minutes.
But think about Steve Bruce, right?
Well, you just like Steve Bruce, isn't that?
No, I just said think about Steve Bruce.
I am.
Treat yourself.
Think about Steve Bruce.
Drink him in.
Off a boat on his holidays. Speaking of Flamingo Land, there's a great meme of Bruce around with a flamingo legs, isn't there?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's really good.
Marcus, it's underrated because of the Keegan thing and the Sven thing. It's underrated how much Marcus loves Bruce.
True, yeah.
Brucey or the England team.
I've never hidden my love for the England team.
My like love.
My lust. Away then.
So you'd like to see Brucey back in the game, is what you're saying?
Ask away. I'd love to see Bruce in charge of England. What?
You just like seeing Bruce, don't you?
No, Steve Bruce. If he took over Aston Villa, he'd probably sort them out. Mm. He knows how to get a team out of the championship.
The fans wouldn't take to him, nor would they want him.
Yes, but they don't seem like anyone from what I've seen in the last few weeks.
They certainly don't like
Peter.
Is he a Geordie, though? That's the problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. They will ask the question, won't they?
A Geordie. Bruce, if you were to take over from Aston Villa, now's the time to do it, because they are in such a terrible state. They would probably overlook some of them anyway.
They've also spent loads of money on players. Mm. Yeah. They've probably got the semblance of a decent squad in there.
God, wow. But they are at that level. Abject, aren't they, at the moment? They just look so just not interested in their own careers.
Great curries in the town as well.
Yeah.
They had a great one after the last
show. Yeah, love that.
But you know, since Villa won an away game last, I think Sam Allardyce took over at Sunderland. Mm. Sam Allardyce left Sunderland. Mm-hmm. Sam Allardyce took over at England. Mm. Sam Allardyce left England. And Villa still didn't win an away game
that's
that
incredible.
Time.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Allardyce wants to get back on the wagon,
last place he wants to be at the moment.
Well, I don't know.
On the wagon.
It's a perfect fit for him, but I think it's just come too soon.
I think it's time for Tom Hanks to step up if he's such a big fan. The owners could do worse than just like pay for a film where he has to sort of method act them back into the Premier League.
For 9 months?
Yeah.
David Cameron, he's free, isn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't he a big Villa / West Ham fan?
I was going to say, he might be holding out for the West Ham. I can't remember.
He just doesn't know.
But, Big Sam, it would be a nice fit, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Sadly.
In League Two, there was absolute scenes at the end of Cambridge 2, Accrington Stanley 1.
Yeah.
Cambridge scored with 9 minutes to go, and then in injury time, Cambridge had a player sent off, and Accrington were given a penalty. The keeper, Will Norris, saved the pen, and then I think it went out, was it for a throw-in or something?
Yeah.
And then from the resulting sort of set-piece, if you like, a Cambridge player handled on the line, he was sent off, and then Norris saved a penalty again and ensured they won the match with two penalty saves. Pretty much back-to-back.
Right after another,
in injury time from
that's
the keeper.
It's like 10 years in Royal of the Rovers. It's just run out of storylines. Oh, God.
Absolutely wonderful stuff.
I didn't think the second penalty was very good.
No, but at that point, it's all about the story.
At that point, the keeper should be ashamed of himself.
It needed to be saved.
It did, absolutely
right. And he did save it.
Heroics.
Much like Alves in goal for Valencia against Atletico Madrid, let's go to La Liga. Atletico did win the game, but there was two penalty saves. It's a great weekend for goalkeepers.
It's similar, actually, because the second one was a very, very soft penalty. But the first one, I'm putting this out there, I think it's up there with the best penalty saves I've ever seen. He gets such a strong hand to it.
He does, yeah.
I urge everybody to watch it.
With David Seaman in that penalty shootout away to Sampdoria.
Just punching it away
in the semi-final.
On the fly.
I think it was the semi-final of the Cup Winners' Cup. Mm. Glorious.
I remember that.
That
was great. I don't remember that.
I do remember that.
A formative moment for young Jim.
That was when David Seaman...
He was called James at the time.
We've got him to thank for that, have we?
Yeah.
That was when David Seaman really... set out his stall as actually quite a decent penalty saver until the Germans rode in the year 96. But yeah, Atletico Madrid are top. They're top.
Well, hang on a minute. To be fair to Seaman, he saved a penalty against Spain in the quarterfinal of the year 96.
Yeah, he did. And against Gary McAllister.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Having the pop in for his penalty record in the year 96.
No, I'm saying that.
I thought he loved England.
It would have been better if Steve Bruce was in goal.
That's a shame.
Steve Bruce in goal. It would have been better if he'd got a cap.
No caps.
What, scored 19 goals in one season?
Yeah, no
new
cap.
Caps. Yeah. Did New get a
you
cap?
You get a cap. You get a cap in a cereal packet these days.
What?
You do.
All right, Chris Sutton. Jesus.
They're all just headphones.
they're all just cereal packets. Atletico Madrid are top after they won Real Madrid. They drew 1-1 with Ibar. And Barcelona, they were on the wrong end of a wonderful 4-3 game at Celta Vigo.
Barca were awful.
Barca were 3-0 down.
You say that? They were 3-0 down, yeah. One of the, Jeremy Mathieu had a bit of a mare as well. And at one point, Ter Stegen basically just, under pressure, kicked the ball onto the head of an on-rushing forward.
Yeah, he did.
It was absolutely amazing. It was like basically what Son tried to do to Bravo, but actually it happened.
Yeah. I find Jeremy Mathieu, he's obviously like a decent player because he plays for Barcelona. But you know, in some big sides, some of the best sides in the world, and there's a player in there you think,
nobody's favourite.
How's he got in there? Manchester United used to have a few. With, like, I don't know, like the fullback Fabio, you know, brother of Rafa. Yeah, you know, he was okay, but he sort of ends up at QPR and then he's away.
Did you see what Mathieu did last week? Got news through of an international call-up, so immediately retired from international duty.
What?
So I don't want it.
There's a man without honour.
Yeah. Wow. I quite rated
turning your back on your country, damn
I
you.
I quite rated it. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
What, really? I'll retire.
I'd rather retire.
I don't need that today. Yeah. I was looking forward to that international break.
Yeah.
Just telling your agent to write a press release. You're like, no, I'm not doing it. Because you can't be arsed.
That template on the desktop. Send it.
Yeah.
The worst has happened.
Yeah, exactly. It's got Adebayor's name at the bottom of it. Yeah. No, change that.
Change the name, yeah.
But it's great, Atletico Madrid. Now, Valencia, they obviously lost the game, but they've gone from the Gary Neville dynasty to the Ayestran time at the club where he managed to be worse than Gary Neville. And they've now appointed former Italy manager Cesare Prandelli. Better.
Yeah. I don't think by anyone's standards could you call Gary Neville's tenure a dynasty. So Alex Ferguson,
a dinner 20, time.
Yeah, Wenger, 20 years, dynasty. Ferguson, 25 years or whatever it was, dynasty. You know, Bill Shankly, dynasty. Not a dynasty, Gary Neville.
No.
Not even an episode of Dynasty. Not even an episode of Dallas.
Who shot Gary Neville's career? Yeah,
everyone did. But chiefly him.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
But it was a marvellous piece of business for Valencia to get Prandelli in.
Valencia have emerged from the basement and are smelling the fresh air.
Look, Prandelli, I'm not that au fait with his club career. I know he was at Fiorentina, maybe at Roma as well, and a few others. But he got Italy to the Euros.
He's an actual manager.
Yeah, that's what I'm basically saying. I know that they didn't have a great World
Cup. Yes, Marcus, I agree. He's no Steve Bruce, but he is a manager.
They're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
However well he does, and it won't be worse than those two put together, right? I guarantee you that they're going in the right direction.
He's loving it. He's coming off the back of the two statistically worst managers the club has ever had. Yes, I will take the job. Thank you very much. And I'm only coming in 3 days a week
to start with.
Yeah,
he could have the first 3 months off. He'd be fine.
He would.
He won't do any worse, Jim.
No.
No, certainly not. What else happened? Oh, yeah, Gareth Bale got his 50th goal in the Spanish top flight.
Powerful header as well.
It was a very powerful dynasty.
Can I bring in a Mario Balotelli update?
Before you do, it's a Cristiano Ronaldo update.
I'm not bothered about him.
He's recently opened a new hotel in Lisbon.
Oh, okay.
Life is not just about football, what he said during the grand opening.
He didn't say it wasn't football related, in which case I'm interested.
Yeah. Well, he went on to say,
is the hotel just a big, like, statue of him? It's absolutely massive.
Yeah, hopefully.
The lift shaft's like a 30 floor penis.
You just got a
penis.
Each pillow's like those Japanese love pillows with manga characters, but they're just his face, so you can sleep with Ronaldo. Don't even pretend you've never seen one.
I don't know what that is. Right. I'm sorry.
I don't either.
Okay.
Let us know.
What do you mean? It's a manga character on a pillow that perverts hug.
What? Oh, a hugging pillow, I've heard of this.
Have
thing,
adult yeah. hugs, yeah.
I wish everyone could see his face when you're saying
it's a mixture of confusion and lust.
When he said the word pervert, he realised simultaneously that he was one of those perverts.
But I'll move on for your sake, Peter. Cristiano Ronaldo went on to say, I don't have many years left in football, about 10, more or less. He's 31.
Yeah.
He's telling himself, I'm not like that, 10 more years. It's great. Yeah, I bet you when he's 41, he'll still be tearing it up.
He won't be playing at Real Madrid at 41.
Well,
no, you won't.
Get your bets in.
I'd love to see him, you know, genuinely be one of those players like Rivaldo though, that just keeps going.
No, I wouldn't. No,
Rivaldo's not go, keep on going, is he?
You wouldn't want to see.
Is he
Cristiano Ronaldo?
No, but he did for a long time.
Cristiano Ronaldo will never, ever, ever play in the Angolan league.
That doesn't mean I wouldn't love to see it.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. Oh well, if, yeah. There's a pointless conversation then.
Jim. Well, yeah.
Imagine a dog that could fly
with Steve Bruce on its back.
Let's go to France then quickly. Mario Balotelli
scored and was sent off for 2 yellow cards in 4 minutes.
Lovely.
He's
one of which was for taking the shot of the celebrating said goal.
No, I don't like to say that.
Nice are top of the league. PSG are 4 points behind them in third, I think.
PSG are not having a good season at all. It's like they're really missing their best player from last year. but Monaco are in there in second. But yeah, like Balotelli has had an immediate impact there. It's great to see.
Where are PSG in the table?
PSG are third. They're 4 points behind Nice and Monaco are second.
If he's still doing it in December, I'll be really pleased for him.
Who, Balotelli?
Yeah.
It's as if he's safe to suggest that he probably won't be.
Yeah. It's as if he's taken all the incidents he should have been, you know, incidenting from the last couple of seasons and doing them all now.
The worst thing I ever did was sign for Man City and Liverpool and Milan and Nice. That's what we'll be saying in December.
Could well be. Shall we have some highlights of the week?
Yes, we shall. Matt Elmers, hello to you, Matt. Oh, this is where I read this thing about Spurs not conceding a goal at open play all season. Matt Elmers got in touch and told us. He said Spurs are also the only undefeated side in the league. First team to take points off Pep Guardiola. I hate boasting, but I need to make the most of this. It's before St Totteringham's Day comes around. Hashtag come on you Spurs. Thanks for that, Matt.
There's a lot more Spurs happening on the podcast today than usual, I think, and it's because Lord Ramble isn't here.
True, he's famously a Spurs fan, of course. Yeah.
And they did beat Guardiola's Man City. Didn't see Barcelona? I went Barcelona, Bayern. Oh yeah, Man City, that's the one.
Allow me to change tack by saying Martin Rees' highlight of the week is Liverpool hammering Hull at 5-1 on Mike Phelan's birthday. Now they've got Guidel in the sack on his 61st birthday.
Birthday smashes.
How many birthdays can Liverpool ruin this season? we don't know. There's a lot of scope.
Well, you know, maybe they're taking a leaf out of Pard's book. Or not just Pard's, but Palace's book, rather. They used to enjoy spoiling Liverpool's party, didn't they? Maybe they're doing it themselves.
Oh, I thought you meant like Pard's, you just sport people's birthdays, which
that
made me cry on my birthday.
Shut up.
The amazingly named Kai Villabrand Tarafta.
Wow.
In touch saying, I live in Australia and I almost never get to see overseas content live. So my highlight of the week was getting to catch the Facebook Q&A. We did the Facebook Live thing on Friday, of course, for those who didn't see it. Before the live show at 3:30 on Saturday morning while walking home from a night out.
Wow.
I remember being a little miffed that my questions weren't answered while the ones directly above and below mine were. I went back to check what my questions were and found out I started my first one by telling you lads about how I'd just taken a shit in a park. So I guess your avoidance was understandable. Have a good week.
Yeah,
thanks, Kai.
You will never get that on a Ramble Live on a Facebook Live. On the main podcast, which is what we're known for primarily. That's fine.
That's our bread and butter.
All your smut comes here. All right.
Andrew Berry says, I listened to the Acast Plus show of Rowan Ricketts, which was an interview with Marcus, of course.
Speaking of journeymen.
I wasn't really sure what to expect, but it was utterly fascinating. Didn't realise he had such a bizarre yet amazing career. Hashtag shameless plug. Well, if you want to hear a shameless plug, listen to this. Go to Acast Plus on the Acast app on your mobile device, and you, for £1.99 a month, you can listen to ad-free rambles here and listen to these specials that come out once a month. Mm. The most recent one is a Marcus interview with Rowan Ricketts, and bloody interesting it is too.
And quite a few have built up now as well.
They are on iTunes as well.
Yeah, not available just yet. They're available in the future.
But Acast is a better way to do it, though.
Indeed. Louis T. Moorhead, Diego Alves has now saved 19 out of 37 penalties in Spain with 3 saves in the past week. Incredible. When you've got it, you've got it. And before we move on, I've got one more correction and clarification. Eric Abidal has, in fact, scored in his career, just not in the league. He scored famously in a Clásico for Barca. We were talking about players who hadn't scored at all, and he has, apparently.
Well, that was a correction and clarification for the chap who emailed in, or got because you said, I'll be honest with you, I haven't checked this, so it's on him.
It was by a guy called Joseph Bramley, I think, if my memory serves me correct, and it came in just before we walked into the studio. I didn't have time to check it, and we were light on content. So I thought, I'm taking a gamble here.
I had a little highlight, just something off. I noticed. Which is that Everton have got a sign by their pitch that just says, please keep off the grass.
Yeah, all clubs have that. Yeah.
Someone hasn't been to have that for, I imagine, in a while.
I've certainly not been sat on the corner block.
Jim, it's not aimed at the professionals.
I know,
who
it's
go
not, but I just think it's really quaint. If you're the sort of person who's going to do a pitch invasion, you're not going to look at that and think, no, actually, I won't bother.
It's probably left over from, because they have stadium tours and stuff like that, and they put it up during the day for people not to go on there. That's basically where it comes from.
But it's fair enough.
Indeed.
Do we have an email, Peter?
Oh, we got a quick email. It's more of a highlight of the week, to be honest, from Martin. He says, hello, Ramblers. My email this week is one of simple fact. Come in a little earlier in the week. Dundalk have just earned as much money in 90 minutes, €1.6 million, than they would have won for winning every domestic title until 2031.
Wow.
Which is a really nice fact.
Amazing.
I look forward to reading the Ramble book, available from all good bookstores October 20th, 2016, whilst drinking coffee out of my new Ramble mug.
Wow, this guy's on brand.
Goodness me.
So on brand.
Does he assume that he's won the mug by giving us that fact, or does he assume that he's got one on the way? I'm confused.
I think he just bought one, hasn't he?
I'll just reply to that by saying, thanks for buying a Ramble mug. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we don't have to give you a free one.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to get his email read out.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it.
Technically speaking, though, the mugs are dished out for highlights of the week, though, not email, so he can't be eligible.
Yeah. We don't just do emails on a Monday, do we?
I'm going to be honest. Kai, Villebrand Tarafta, I just like saying that. Uh-huh. You're not going to win a mug because you're in Australia and we can no afford the postage fee. So who do you want to give it to?
Give us a recap. I mean, you're the man who knows.
So Louis T. Moorhead about Diego Alves' penalty saving record, Andrew Berry in the Ryan Ricketts podcast, Martin Rees about the birthday ruiners Liverpool, and Matt Elmer's the Spurs fan.
I think Martin Rees.
Yeah, let's go for that then.
Let's have it.
Let's
Martin
do it.
Martin Rees, get in touch, show at thefootballramble.com with your address, and we will send you a mug, sir.
Beautiful.
There we are. That's it, isn't it? We're finished. Go to thefootballramble.com to get all your mugs and whatnot. Luke, have you got anything else?
I'm just going to remind people, don't forget to go to thefootballramble.com at 10 a.m. on Wednesday to get yourself in with the chance, I suppose, of coming along to the Ramble book launch event in Central London. Completely free at 7 p.m. on Thursday the 13th of October.
And if you do miss out, we've got shows in, all over the place, haven't we? Cardiff, Leeds, Brighton, London. Beautiful.
We're Glasgow, we've got Glasgow and Bristol as well, but they've sold out.
They've sold out, so
move quick.
That's right, yeah.
Get your tickets from thefootballramble.com. We had a lovely time in Winchester on Friday, didn't we?
It was brilliant. Winchester
is beautiful.
It's a beautiful town, and there was a number of Southampton fans there.
I was a pantomime villain.
When you came on stage, everyone booed you.
Well, you've never had that.
Well, not in that particular context.
Shame. Circles, mate.
It's like the shame bit in Game of Thrones. Shame.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. I was completely naked as well. But the one thing I would say that I forgot to say that night, because I wasn't expecting to get that sort of treatment, is just, you know, how sad it must be for them to have to pay to listen to a Pompey fan speak.
I bet some of their Acast subscribers as well.
£15 that cost them.
Really, yeah. Don't worry, I'm team Southampton fans. Yeah.
The amount of times I heard after the show from drunk people, you're not that bad for a skate, was amazing.
A skate?
Yeah, I know.
Skate. I knew.
Was that because of the fishing?
Yeah, no, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Right, are we done?
Yeah,
good.
I'm done, yeah.
All right, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.